Well, we are just about at the midpoint of Lent on this third Sunday. And if you've either given something up for this season or taken something up, like sending more thank you notes or giving more to the local food pantry, you might be starting to feel the impact of your Lenten discipline. Because whether breaking a habit or starting a new one, this is about the point when we begin to wonder if this was such a good idea. If maybe we signed up for more than what we were really up to. Because we really aren't fully reaping the benefits of that discipline yet to feel the strength of it. But we certainly are feeling the inconvenience or the work of it. So when the psalmist speaks of longing in terms of hunger or thirst, we may be able to more clearly resonate with that. Because certainly as people who live in the desert, we understand how not only we as humans, but all of creation thirsts. Editors of the Book of Psalms connected this psalm to the time in David's life when he was in the wilderness while being chased by Saul. Now, certainly upon returning to his normal life, David would have relished being in the presence of God after experiencing what he saw as God's absence in the wilderness. There are any number of ways for us to hear our own voice in this song. Maybe we're struggling with our Lenten commitment, whatever that might be, or we can remember our wilderness days of thirst, whether we feel that we're now in a different kind of wilderness. Maybe it's that our attention wanders to other aspects of life in the world that have nothing to do with God, those more pressing and seemingly urgent and important concerns, those things that are attractive or capture our interest. Now, they may not be bad things for us or for the world. Not everything is. But when they cause us to wander off in directions away from God's purpose for us and God's ways in the world, that's when we can find ourselves in the wilderness, thirsting for something more, hungry for something that really satisfies. Upon returning to the temple, the beauty of God's holy place, the writer is overwhelmed with what he's been missing all this time. God's presence as experienced in the temple. For that's where they believed was the only place where God dwelt. The connection is with the one who knows the writer, who understands him, who loves him. God is the one who sustains us as well, not only in this holy space on Sunday mornings, but in our daily living, when we're lying on our beds or in the watches of the night, or we're sitting on our sofas or eating at our tables surrounded by those we love. In all those ways, God sustains us in body, mind, and spirit. God is the one we can turn to when the world doesn't get us, doesn't understand where we're coming from, doesn't accept who we are, doesn't know what we're going through. Because even while God is at work in us, transforming us in love, because God never really lets us alone just as we are, God is also our safe space. Because God understands, God listens, and God strengthens us for life in a world that can be pretty darn harsh. This is a God who sees us and hears us and knows our individuality, knows our story. But God also knows how we then fit as a piece in a puzzle into the larger community, not only community of faith, but community of humanity. When my grandmother, a good Irish Catholic from Yonkers, went in to see her doctor at age 90, the doctor said something about her health for a woman her age. Well, my tiny 4-foot-10-inch grandma stood up and said, "You're fired." And walked out. I got to be the one who took her to the doctor that morning, and I'm scurrying after her, and I asked her what the problem was. She said, "She doesn't know anything about me. She isn't seeing or hearing me. I'm a category to her, a category of people who just need to accept things the way they are. I'm not ready to do that. Yes, she said she's old. She admitted that. But she was still a person worthy of being heard and taken seriously. So she found another doctor and lived another 8 years. All of us want to be seen for who we are, for who God made us to be. All of us want to be heard and understood, not necessarily agreeing with us, but hearing us out, seeing us. When people are truly struggling in life, or when they're upset, I have found what they want first and foremost is for somebody to see them and hear them. They want and need a safe space to express the struggle, whether with another human being or with God or both. It's what they need first and foremost. They may not need anybody to fix it for them. For the psalmist, he's now basking in the presence of God, who is that safe space for him. And because of that, he can regain strength, be nourished in body and spirit, have his thirst quenched, whether from the desert or from a soulful longing. Once strengthened, he's able to respond by blessing God as long as he lives. Or as one paraphrase puts that verse, I will bless you with my entire life. What if we saw our life, our daily living, as a response to God's sustaining power in our lives? What if how we lived each day was meant to be a blessing to the God who's been a refuge for us when we were weak and tired? One of the good things about social media is that it's raised awareness of all kinds of needs and concerns in our world and communities. One of the bad things it has done is to create the illusion that if you post something online, that's all you need to do. Whether it's remember our veterans, or keep Christ in Christmas, or fight cancer, or some other slogan, people will pass those along as if that's all they need to do. But as much as I see these online, and for example, around Veterans Day, whenever I see those, I think, I still know that our healthcare system for them is broken, and there are unaddressed mental health issues and housing needs for our veterans. These are things that a social media post will not fix. So it's not enough to just say it. In order for our lives to truly be a blessing for God, there has to be more than Reddit clips or billboards, or for those of us who are old, good television ads. We were created to be living in real time, in a real life community with one another. And that includes the veteran with PTSD, the homeless family, the addict, the widow, the kid who's aging out of foster care, or the neighbor who's struggling to keep their yard in shape. How are we blessing God in living our lives? In a world where there are fewer safe spaces to be ourselves as we become a more fractious and volatile community, to have a place where we can have difficult conversations, to listen as well as to be heard, well, this is where the church can be a reflection of who God is as a refuge and a source of steadfast love. How do we as a community of faith bless God with our common life and ministry? Lent, whether we like it or not, is a season of self-examination. And perhaps in this season, we need to take time to look at the two true statements of what we believe, our bank account and our calendars. Because how we spend our resources and how we spend our time are good indicators of who we're living for, who we're seeking to bless in our living. I know that whenever I do that, I'm humbled very quickly, and I'm reminded of how much I do for myself, my interests, my pleasures, how much of my life is a blessing to God, who has given so much to me, is not nearly as much as I thought it was. Sometimes it looks pretty balanced, but other times not so much. I would guess the same is true for most of us. You know, the psalmist doesn't bless God out of obligation or guilt, but out of gratitude for being his refuge, being his safe space, being the one who understands and guides them into better, being a better self. Because of all of who God is for us, do our lives reflect that kind of gratitude? Today's spiritual, there is a balm in Gilead, which we're going to sing here in just a few moments, is a song of hope for those whose spiritual lives are a wilderness desert. In the midst of despair, the despair that is slavery, the words remind us that God has what we need to heal our hearts and souls. It is based on the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who, while mourning for the people, asked, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" To which the spiritual replies, "There is a balm in Gilead." Howard Thurman, who I've quoted before in the last couple of weeks, wrote, "The slave caught in the mood of the spiritual dilemma, and with it, the slave caught the mood of that spiritual dilemma of slavery, and with it did an amazing thing. He took the question mark in Jeremiah and turns it into an exclamation point. There is a balm. God does provide what the soul needs most." And as we sing it, I want you to pay attention to the words and the hope that they affirm. Wouldn't it be wonderful if with the psalmist we could profess, "I will bless you with my entire life." Amen.